Well, good morning. And we welcome you this morning at Clement Methodist Church. We're glad you're with us today. Just a few announcements is don't forget next Sunday is the church picnic over at Mountville Park. That'll be 11:30 right after the service is over. It'll be a potluck, so bring whatever you would like, and then we'll have some meat available there with the sandwiches and other things to eat for that. So please make sure 11:30 next week, Mountville Park, right after service, the time just to get together as a church picnic goes. Just from note from Audrey in the back there, we'll be on Saturday right here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock in the morning, just having a small gathering, a small memorial service for Bonnie Varner, and that'll be at 10 o'clock right here. So if you knew Bonnie and you wanted to come and be a part of that service, it'll be 10 o'clock here Saturday right up here on the stage. We're going to do a little intimate service together, and so you can talk to me or talk to Audrey for more information about that. Also, this morning, just want to be letting you know that I got word that Wilbert Bish passed away last night. And so please keep Wilbert in your thoughts and prayers with his family. It'll be a graveside service later on this week. So please keep Wilbert Bish's family in your thoughts and prayers. And also, today's flower arrangements are in honor of Margaret Ann Hendricks by Robert McKenzie III. So we just wanted to take note of the flower arrangements there. So let us come together and let us pray together this morning. Father God, we come before you now and we ask, God, that you would be with us in this time of worship. We ask, God, that you would just be present in this hour with us, that your spirit would fall fresh upon us, God, that we would hear you speak to us, that you would take away all our distractions. We come, God, because of you. We're here because of you. And so we give our thanks and praise to you and to you alone. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you be pleased with what we give to you as our worship. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together this morning as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. And if you have your hymnal, it's on 881, or you can follow along on the screen. So let us stand this morning. Let us be reminded of why we are here this morning and why we come to worship our Lord and Savior. For I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us worship together.
Please join us as we sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, promises I cannot hold. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Scriptures from James 1, verses 13 to 15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
We sing, Lord, I come, I confess.
Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides me. I need you every hour.
runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Sing it out, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Come on, sing it out. Lord, I need you. Oh. Can be seated.
Thank you, praise team. And what truth is that of how we need God every hour, every day? And what a fitting song as we begin a series on temptation this morning. So let us look to God in prayer. God, we come before you now and we just ask, Lord, that we would hear you speak to us in your small, still voice. And we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation, my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Amen. For the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at the aspect of temptation. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can follow along with the scripture that was read from James 1. And there is a pew Bible there available, and we'll be looking at that scripture a little bit later on in the sermon. But we wanted to highlight the aspect of temptation and look at the struggle we have. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about my college days, thinking about my senior year in college specifically. Excuse me. It was the night before I was to graduate and get my degree, and my roommate and I said, you know what, let's just go out and let's have some fun. And we went out and we left probably around like 7, 8 o'clock at night, and we didn't have a car, so we had to walk, and so we walked down through the campus, down through town, cross railroad tracks, and there was this little kind of small like pool hall, and so we were like, let's just play some pool together. We like playing pool. And so we ended up playing pool, and we had some fun playing pool, and we looked at our watches, and we were like, oh my goodness, it's 11 o'clock. Now, in those days, we had a card key that you would get let in and out of your dorm buildings, and at 11 o'clock, the card key would go off, and you couldn't get in your dorm building. So we didn't know quite what to do. We knew it was probably going to be at least a 20 to 30 minute walk back up to where we're at. So we know it's probably around midnight that we're getting in. We're already an hour behind curfew. I'm supposed to graduate the next day. This really doesn't look good. So as we began to approach the dorms, we got this idea, hey, let's tap on our friend Johnny's window on the lower level and we'll wait till campus security does their rounds, and then we'll just have Johnny open the window, and we'll crawl through his window, and nobody will be the wiser. But sure enough, we knock on Johnny's window, and Johnny says, okay, he opens the window, and as he opens the window, we make sure campus security is doing the rounds, and my roommate crawls in, boom, He's in without a problem at all. And we do a double check. We look around. Okay, it's good. There's no security. And as I begin to crawl in the window and I'm halfway in and halfway out, I begin to feel this tug on my foot. And I begin to say, just pull me in, pull me in. I don't know what's going on. Just pull me in. And so pull me in. We close the windows and we kind of act nonchalantly like nothing had happened. We gather ourselves and my roommate and I are about ready to go to a room. And about that time, Johnny gets a knock on his door. It's campus security. Security goes, so how are you guys doing tonight? We're like, oh, good, good, things are good. He's like, so have you guys been in the dorm all night? Yes, sir, we have been in the dorm all night long. We didn't go anywhere. Yep, we've been here the entire night. You have you? Yes, sir, we've gone nowhere tonight. Campus security guard looks at me and my roommate and Johnny and says, are you sure you haven't gone anywhere? We said, yes, we've gone nowhere. And he said, then can you explain to me why I have the shoe from your right foot in my hand? Sure enough, I looked down, and lo and behold, I was missing the shoe off of my right foot. I had gotten caught by campus security. But being the fact that I knew who the campus security was, and he was a good sport about it, he said, I know you're graduating tomorrow. Don't worry about it. He's like, you know, it's the last night you're going to be here on campus, and so he gave me a pass. But I can't tell you the feeling that I had when he was holding my shoe in his hand going, oh, great, my parents are up here for graduation. I'm not going to graduate. I'm busted. How do I explain this to my parents? On the last night of college, I snuck out, and I'm sneaking back in, and now I can't graduate. How do I do this? And the fear that came over me, because you see, when you're caught doing something you're not supposed to, all of a sudden you have that sinking feeling in your stomach. Now, my roommate and I could have just gone up to the door and knocked on the door and said, hi, we're out late, go ahead, do what you need to do. But we said, no, we're going to take our chances. And so we went with the temptation to try to sneak in, and we got caught. You see, when temptation catches us and we give in to temptation, whether how small or big it is, our stomachs drop and we begin to try to cover up when we get caught in things. We begin to try to make a trail to cover our tracks, because temptation doesn't just start with something small, it grows. We all struggle with temptation, no matter who we are. We've all been tempted to do something. Even this morning, you might have been tempted to do something either when you came to church or before you came to church. Maybe it was kind of rolling through the stop sign, or, well, it's kind of yellowish red. I'm colorblind, so I'm going to say it's yellow, although it was red, maybe. Or maybe we said something that we might have regretted. We all struggle with temptation. It's been around since the beginning of time in the garden when Adam and Eve were tempted. Actually, it was Eve that was tempted and not Adam. It was Eve who was tempted to take of the fruit, and Adam just ate willingly. He wasn't even tempted to eat. Eve just said, here's a fruit. And Adam just said, okay, good. Tastes good to me. Temptation's been around since the garden. It's a universal issue, and temptation sometimes can control our life, and sometimes we let temptation win. You see, this morning I want to let you know it's not wrong to be tempted. It's not wrong to be tempted. We are going to be tempted, but how we handle the temptation determines whether temptation is wrong or not. For temptation itself is not a bad thing, but what we do with that temptation can turn it into a bad thing. You see, when we give in a temptation, it robs us of our confidence in our lives. It robs us of who we are. It robs us of the fact that God loves us, that God cares for us, and it robs us of the confidence of, boy, I got to continue to tell lie after lie after lie, and I hope that my lies will catch up to me, and it robs us of the confidence to live every single day of our life. When I was in ministry, in my last church, there was a friend named George. He was a young adult in the church, and George was dating one of the girls in the church, and everything seemed to be going pretty good for George and her, and George got involved in some things he shouldn't have got involved in, and he was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and George decided that him and his buddies were going to go out one night and just kind of break into somebody's home and take something. Something minor, nothing big. They didn't get caught. And all of a sudden, the exhilaration and the adrenaline was so good that it didn't stop there, that they had to continue. And George had to continue to cover his tracks with his girlfriend, with his parents. That George had to continue to make sure that he had a pretty good alibi where he was at in case anybody ever figured out that it was him and his friends doing this. Every time you would see George, you could see that he wasn't confident in himself. You could see he was shaking. You could see the fact that he might have been hiding something because he gave him that temptation just to go with his buddies and steal something that night. And lo and behold, what happened with George is it led to bigger problems in his life, because that's what temptation does. It doesn't just rob us of our confidence, but it leads to bigger issues in our life. And sure enough, it led to bigger things with him and his friends, where it wasn't just enough to steal something here or there, but they had to go up and up the game a little bit. And what George didn't realize was that him and his friends were using him, and they were using his truck to transport things. And the one night, him and his buddies went out and they robbed a house and they had the belongings of this truck. And lo and behold, a cop pulls them over because a neighbor had called in that there was suspicious activity at the house, and they gave the description of the truck. And lo and behold, what happened is George was arrested with his friends. But George was charged with more because it was his truck they were using to transport the items, and they kept the items at his house. It led to bigger issues where his buddies got lesser crimes, lesser things against them, but for George, everything was stacked up against him. It led to bigger problems. You see, when we give in to temptation and we let temptation win and we say that it's okay, nobody will know, I'm only hurting myself, I'm not hurting anybody else, that leads to bigger problems. Think about Eve when she took that fruit. Oh, what's the big deal? I'm the only one eating it. That led to bigger problems for all of us. You see, when George was excited, he had the rest of his life in front of him, and it was all thrown away because of some decisions he made, because he gave him the temptation. You know, you and I might be the same, that we might come to church and we remember coming to church and being excited about coming to church, and we couldn't wait to come to church. And then all of a sudden, as we're doing this thing called life, that things come at us and we begin to lose our excitement. We begin to lose our passion. We begin to kind of get weighed down with things, and that we're tempted just to give in. We're tempted to say, you know what, nobody cares about me. We're tempted to throw in the towel. We're tempted to say, woe's me. I'm the only one going through this. Nobody else is. That we're tempted to forget about that passion, excitement we had when we were saved because of Jesus and the hope that he gave us. And when we give him that temptation of saying, I don't know how much worse it can get. I don't know how I can get out of this. And all of a sudden we begin to throw ourselves a pity party and we begin to say, you know what? Nobody cares. It doesn't matter what I do. It's only affecting me. Then that's when we see how temptation leads to those bigger problems. Because you see, temptation brings death to relationships. You see, George now had not only a legal problem, but he had a problem now of his girlfriend, and he had a problem now of his parents. Because now his parents had to figure out how they were going to hire a lawyer to defend George. His relationship with his girlfriend ended because he had lied to her so many times that she wanted nothing to do with him, and all of a sudden, everything that George had known, all the relationships and the friendships that he had known, were thrown out the window because of a decision he made. You see, temptation, when it wins and we give in to temptation, it brings death to relationships. You know, I think about individuals who say, well, it's no big deal, it's only affecting me. I think about how many times I was a chaplain at Hershey Medical Center, and how many times that when somebody came in because they were just minding their own business and driving, and all of a sudden late at night, somebody had too much to drink, saying it was only affecting me and nobody else, and they had a head-on collision and took the innocent life of somebody. I remember sitting across families and trying to explain to them, I don't know why this happened. All because one individual thought, you know what, I can handle how much I drink. It doesn't affect anybody, but yet it did. It affected somebody's life, and it affected a family, the loss of a loved one. How many times do we do things in life where we say things that we might regret and say, well, it's only affecting me, it's not affecting you, so why do you care? And people say, you know what, it does affect me. The things that you say, the things that you do affect us. So many times we say, oh no, it's only affecting me. Don't worry about me. Mind your own business, we'll say. You worry about yourself. That's between me and God, we'll say. But the reality is that although it might be between you and God, it affects everybody around you. It affects the church. It affects relationships in the community. It reflects relationships in the family. That how we live our life, and when we give in to temptation, and we let temptation win, it has a tragic effect on everybody around us. That sin doesn't just affect us, folks. It affects everybody. But we have this little notion that sin only affects me. Does it affect anybody else? But it does. And then what happens as Christians? We look like hypocrites because we'll go and say one thing, but yet we'll do another. We might say, you know, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I gave him a temptation, but at least my temptation wasn't as bad as that person's temptation over there. I would have never have done that. Or I would have never have done what George did. So you know what? I'm not really a horrible person. I'm not a bad person. And we begin to justify our actions. We begin to justify who we are. And instead of measuring ourselves to God's standards, we measure ourselves to our own standards. And we all know how that ends. We all fall short from the glory of God. You know, think about this with Satan. Satan wants us to think we're okay. That even when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, he wants us to think we're okay. That we can do what we want to do. You know, it's like calling Jake from State Farm. Hey, God, I'm here for my State Farm life insurance discount. Will you forgive me for all my sins? And God says, yes, you are forgiven. And we say, thank you, God. And we treat God like Jake from State Farm. Because we want to make sure that our insurance policy is taken care of so that when we die, we know we're going to heaven. And then we say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do with the rest of my life. It doesn't matter how I live because I got my insurance policy taken care of. That's what Satan wants us to believe. That's a temptation that Satan throws at us, saying, you're done. You're taken care of. Do whatever you want to do. Because why? Satan will say. Because God loves you. And God will never, ever condemn you. So go do what you want to do and live the life you want to live because it's not hurting anybody. That's not what Scripture says. It was interesting. I had a conversation last week with an individual, and he said, Pastor Tom, why is it that Christians are so hypocritical at times? That they'll come to church on Sunday mornings, and they'll praise and they'll worship God, but yet they will treat other individuals so horrible and so negative, but yet they'll say, I'm a Christian and I love God, but the way they treat other people is so horrible that I don't know if I want any parts of church anymore, Pastor Tom. Because temptation, the temptation to look out for ourselves, the temptation to live in sin, the temptation to say it's not hurting anybody, the temptation to say it's okay, the lies that Satan feeds us we give into, and as a result, our lives aren't the only impacted. Other people's are as well. So much so to the fact that people might not want to come to church because of the impact that they have seen from other people's decisions and behaviors that have been made. Which can lead to a hard heart. It can lead to me thinking, I don't need God. I'm good on my own. I'm saved, and that's all it takes. I don't need to change my behavior. It can lead to a hard heart when people come to you and say, you know what? What you're doing is not okay. It can lead to a hard heart by pushing people away who love you and care for you. It can lead to a hard heart when you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit and you say, you know what, I'm going to ignore it and do what I want to do. It can lead to a hard heart where you just turn your back on God totally. You see, Adam had a hard heart there for a little bit. Adam was an individual who said, you know what, I'm done. This is all God. It's all his fault. And Adam began to have a hard heart, George had a hard heart because of the fact of his behavior and what he did. He made excuses. And he couldn't come to grips with his fact that he made decisions that affected others, and he began to blame God. You see, that's what Satan wants for us. When we give him a temptation, he wants us to blame God. It's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. If I wasn't born in this family, then I wouldn't be the way I am. Or it's not my fault, it's the teacher's fault. It's not my fault, it's the church's fault. It's not my fault, it's the government's fault. It's not my fault, it's all God's fault, because God's the one who created everything. So therefore, it's all God's fault. And we begin to blame God. And we say, I'm being tempted from God, and this is all from God, because if God really loved me, he would never tempt me at all. Now, going back to our scripture this morning, when people are not tempted, they should not say, God is the one tempting me. Evil cannot tempt God, and God himself does not tempt anyone. But people are tempted when their own evil desires lead them away and traps them, and this desire leads them to sin, then sin grows and brings death. You see, we don't have a God in heaven who is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's not, oh, I love you and I care for you and I want a relationship with you. And then all of a sudden goes, now I want to see you fail and stumble and fall because I'm just like that. That I'm a God with an alter ego. I'm good one day and I'm bad the other day because I say I love you and the next day I say, no, you know what? I want to make you suffer and I want to tempt you. There's no evil in God. Therefore, God cannot tempt us, because if God is perfect and holy and pure, he's not evil. Therefore, temptation cannot come from God, because God is evil and righteous and holy, and in him is no sin. We need to stop blaming God. We need to start taking responsibility for our own actions. We need to stop blaming God and blaming others and say, you know what? I'm the one responsible for the decisions that I made. I'm the one responsible for choosing what I chose to do. Nobody else is to blame. You can blame circumstances. You can blame relationships. You can blame whatever you want. But ultimately, you and I are the ones who choose what decision we're going to make in life. And that is what Satan has done in our world. It's so easy not to take accountability these days. It's so easy to pass the buck. It's so easy to make excuses. It's so easy to blame other things in the world that nobody ever wants to take accountability and say, you know what? Maybe I did play a part in things. Maybe I did play a part in things. Maybe I did make some bad decisions. No, because it's easier to do everything under the table. It's easier to pass the buck and blame others instead of taking responsibility. We need to stop blaming God. I remember talking to George. He said, well, Pastor Tom, when I went to visit him, he said, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no, Pastor Tom. I mean, my friends were pressuring me. I couldn't say no. You see, that's another lie that Satan feeds us, that we cannot say no. That we think we have to say yes to temptation. That when we go, when we look at the aspect of temptation, that God says that he always gives us a way out. And what is that way out? It is by spending time with him, by reading our Bible, by praying, by having a relationship with God. But you see, we can't have that relationship with God if temptation wins, because that relationship gets severed. The only way to overcome temptation is by having that relationship with God. Think about Jesus for a minute when he was in the wilderness and he was tempted. Did he once say, okay, God, stop tempting me. Okay, leave me alone, Father. I know what you want me to do. He never looked up to heaven and said that. No, he realized that temptation came from Satan. And how did he overcome temptation? With the power of saying no. By realizing he couldn't do it himself, by realizing he needed God's help, and he quoted scripture every time he was tempted, and each time Satan was defeated. Because, folks, we do have the power to say no when it comes to temptation, but so many times we don't. You see, wrong desires in our life aren't something that's new. It's something that we face every single day. But with God's help, we can say no to those desires and overcome them. That we can trust God will give us a way out by the power of His Holy Spirit, help us to overcome those temptations so, like Jesus, that we can have victory over them. You might be saying this more, well, Pastor Tom, I've been struggling with the same temptation over and over again, and if God says that I can escape from it, then why haven't I escaped from my temptation? Well, maybe it's because either you haven't really wanted to truly escape from that temptation, or because you're not really connecting yourself to God and connecting yourself to other individuals. What is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ, folks? It is for us to come together and to be held accountable for our behaviors and our actions. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place where we come and we not only encourage one another and we pray for one another, it's not only a place where we come and we say, let's spur one another along, let's come and worship as a body, as a corporate body, give thanks for God. No, the purpose of the church is also for accountability, to hold each and every one of us accountable for our behaviors and our actions. The church is the way that God put on this earth so you and I could become better individuals and better Christians, so others can be pointed to Him. It's a way to be connected. And so many times we fail with temptation because we're not connected. We're not connected to the body of Christ. We're not connected to a small group of individuals or an individual we can go to and talk to that we can call up anytime and say, I'm struggling with this. Can I talk to you? We're not connected because we think we can bear it all alone ourselves. And it only gets worse and worse. But so many times I think we say, you know, well, temptation is a bad thing. Temptation is horrible, Pastor Tom, but temptation is something that actually, something good can come out of, and that's character, folks. The character could come out of temptation. That instead of being frustrated and saying, why am I always being tempted? Why can't I just be left alone? Why me? Why is it every single day I'm being tempted? Why don't we look at it in a different light and say, how is it that today that God is trying to build character in me? Instead of saying, why am I being tempted? Maybe we can say, why is God trying to build this character in me? What is He trying to do in my life? What is He trying to do with my relationship with Him? For Scripture tells us that God produces character in James. And dear brothers, it says, it's full of your difficulties and temptation. Be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Don't squirm out of the problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, you'll be ready for anything, strong in character and full and complete. That God can use those temptations to develop character in us to make us full and complete. These characters that will affect us for the rest of our life. That God can take temptation and turn it into something good. But so many times we want to squirm. So many times we want to try to get out of it. So many times we try to take the easy way out instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to stick with it. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to do my best to rely on God. I'm going to do my best to see how maybe that through this temptation I could be a better person instead of giving in to temptation. And as I continued to met with George over the course of time, George finally came to acknowledge what he had did was wrong, and he took ownership of it. And as I was meeting with George, George actually became a Christian as I met with him because he saw how somebody like me didn't turn their back on him. But they didn't judge him. They didn't say, you're a horrible person. How could you do that? They didn't say, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to spend any time with you because of what you did. But because of constantly talking to George and spending time with George and seeing George, the temptation of people saying, why are you spending time with him? Why are you seeing him? Because it helped build that character for George and myself. So much so that George accepted Christ in his life, became a member of church, and started going to church because he realized how much God loved him, and he realized that he could say no when temptations face them again. You might be saying, well, Pastor Tom, I don't see any growth in my life. I don't see how God's using temptation to produce character. Well, guess what? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Because right now, in front of you, why don't you try to grab all the molecules that are floating around in front of you? Can you grab all those in front of you? You can't, can you? Because you can't see them. Well, just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not happening. Think about Paul when he asked for the thorn of flesh to be removed from his body, but yet it wasn't. And that weakness became a strength for Paul. And God used Paul. You see, this morning, when we think about temptation, we can say the devil made me do it. We can say I had no choice in it all. We can blame God. We can do whatever we want to. Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to overcome temptation because of my relationship with God. I'm going to overcome temptation by realizing the fact that God will produce good out of this. That character is being built in me. I know I can overcome temptation because as I look around, I see people who care about me and love me, who will pray for me and encourage me. I know that I can overcome temptation instead of believing the lie that just do whatever you want to do because it doesn't hurt anybody. You see, this morning, I think, myself included, that God is building a lot of character each and every single day in the world in which we live. It's just a matter of how we respond to that. Whether we're just going to continue to live our life the same way and do our same thing and just say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, who cares? Or are we going to overcome it? See, this morning, my challenge for myself and for each and every one of us is this week. To do our best to say no to temptation when it comes our way. Whatever that temptation is, whether the temptation is to say, I'm the victim, whether the temptation is to say, this isn't fair, whether the temptation is to do something we know we shouldn't do, whatever that temptation is, because they're far in the wild, and when they come, they don't come and go, wow, you know what, this is a temptation. When Satan tempts us, it comes very subtly, and we don't realize it, because temptation wouldn't look good if we recognize it right on sight. Sin is something that Satan comes very subtly and says, hey, look at this. This looks good. It feels good. Do it. Versus saying, here's a consequence for what you're doing. So my challenge this week is that we would recognize temptation and that we would face it head on and that we would not get caught up in the little lies that Satan throws us by saying, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Look at it. It's okay. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt you. It's okay. God will understand. Because God does understand. And God says, you know what? I know you made a bad choice, but I'm still here to forgive you and I want to walk with you. So when we do give in temptation, remember 1 John 1:9 says that we are faithful and just to confess our sins, that he will forgive us of our sins, that we just got to say, God, I'm sorry, and forgive us. No matter what you're faced with this week with temptation, no matter what I might be faced with this week with temptation, help us to be overcomers and know that God has given us a way out. Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you right now, and we know that you're building character in each and every one of us, that you're helping us to grow spiritually, even when we cannot see it. And God, we come before you and we thank you that as we go through temptation, that there's nothing that you haven't gone through yourself, that you have faced temptation as well. And we draw on your word and we draw on that promise you have for us, God, that we come to you and we cling to you and we cling to your word that we can overcome temptation. Because that's what it means to have a high priest in heaven. A one who knows what it's like because you were flesh and blood. You walked among us and you were tempted the same way we were tempted. And that you showed us the way out of temptation. Help us to follow in your footsteps today. Amen.
In response to this morning's message, please stand as we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace.
This place, and we go our separate ways this week, and we are faced temptation. Let us overcome. Let us keep our faith and trust in God. And may the grace of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore as you go this week. And may His grace be with you. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week.